When the knacker man came in, he stood by the farmer, looking at me as I squatted in the straw among the prostrate creatures. They were both waiting for me to quit the place, leaving my failure behind me. "You know, Mr. Clark," I said, "even if we could save one of them, it would help to reduce your loss." The farmer regarded me expressionlessly. "But they're all dying, lad. You said so yourself." "Yes, I did, I know, but the circumstances could be a bit different today."
"I know what it is."
He laughed suddenly.
"You've got your heart set on having a go with them little tablets, haven't you?"
I didn't answer, but looked up at him with a mute appeal. He was silent for a few moments, then he put a hand on Malik's shoulder.
"Jeff, if this young fellow is that concerned about my stock, I'll have to humour him. You're not bothered, are you?"
"Nay, Willie, nay,"
replied Jeff, completely unruffled.
"I can pick him up tomorrow, just as easy."
"Right," I said. "Let's have a look at the instructions." I fished out the pamphlet from the tin and read rapidly, working out the dose for the weight of the calves. "We'll have to give them a loading dose first. I think 12 tablets per calf, then 6 every 8 hours after that."
"Well, how do you get them down their necks?"
the farmer asked. "We'll have to crush them and shake them up in water. Can we go into the house to do that?" In the farm kitchen, we borrowed Mrs. Clark's potato masher and pounded the tablets until we had 5 initial doses measured out. Then we returned to the shed and began to administer them to the calves. We had to go carefully, as the little creatures were so weak they had difficulty in swallowing. But the farmer held each head while I trickled the medicine into the side of the mouth. Jeff enjoyed every minute of it. He showed no desire to leave, but produced a pipe, richly decorated with nameless tissues, leant on the top of the half-door, and, puffing happily, watched us with tranquil eyes. He was quite unperturbed by his wasted journey, and when we had finished, he climbed into his wagon and waved to us cordially.
"I'll be back to pick him up in the morning, Willie," he cried,
quite without malice, I'm sure.
"There's no cure for stagnation at lungs."
I thought of his words next day as I drove back to the farm. He was just stating the fact. His supply of dog meat was merely being postponed for another 24 hours. But at least, I told myself, I had the satisfaction of having tried, and since I expected nothing, I wasn't going to be disappointed. As I pulled up in the yard, Mr. Clark walked over and spoke through the window.
"There's no need for you to get out of the car."
His face was a grim mask.
"Oh,"
I said, the sudden lurch in my stomach belying my calm facade.
"Like that, is it?"
"Aye. Come and look here."
He turned and I followed him over to the shed. By the time the door creaked open, a slow misery had begun to seep into me. Unwillingly, I gazed into the interior. 4 of the calves were standing in a row looking up at us with interest. 4 shaggy, rough-jacketed figures, bright-eyed and alert. The 5th was resting on the straw, chewing absently at one of the strings which held his sack. The farmer's weathered face spit into a delighted grin.
"Well, I told you there was no need to get out of your car, didn't I? They didn't need no veterinary, they're back to normal."
I didn't say anything. This was something which my mind, as yet, could not comprehend. As I stared unbelievingly, the 5th calf rose from the straw and stretched luxuriously.
"He's raxing, do you see?"
cried Mr. Clark.
"There's not much wrong with him when they do that."
We went inside and I began to examine the little animals. Temperatures were normal. The diarrhea had dried up. It was uncanny. As if in celebration, the white calf, which had been all but dead yesterday, began to caper about the shed, kicking up his legs like a mustang.
"Look at that little bugger," burst out the farmer. "By God, I wish I was as fit myself."
I put the thermometer back in its tube and dropped it into my side pocket.
"Well, Mr. Clark," I said slowly, "I've never seen anything like this. I still feel stunned." "Beats hen racing, doesn't it?"
the farmer said, wide-eyed. Then he turned towards the gate as a wagon appeared from the lane. It was the familiar, doom-burdened vehicle of Jeff Malik. The knacker man showed no emotion as he looked into the shed. In fact, it was difficult to imagine anything disturbing those pink cheeks and placid eyes. But I fancied the puffs of blue smoke from his pipe came a little faster as he took in the scene.
The pipe itself showed some fresh deposits on his bowl, some fragments of liver, I fancied, since yesterday. When he had looked his fill, he turned and strolled towards his wagon. On the way, he gazed expansively around him, and then at the dark clouds piling in the western sky.
"I think it'll turn to rain afore day's out, will he?" he murmured.
I didn't know it at the time, but I had witnessed the beginning of a revolution. It was my first glimpse of the tremendous therapeutic breakthrough which was to sweep the old remedies into oblivion. The long rows of ornate glass bottles with their carved stoppers and Latin inscriptions would not stand on the dispensary shelves much longer, and their names, dearly familiar for many generations, sweet spirits of nitre, sal ammoniac, tincture of camphor, would be lost and vanish forever. This was the beginning, and just around the corner a new wonder was waiting. Penicillin, and the other antibiotics. At last we had something to work with. At last we could use drugs which we knew were going to do something. All over the country, probably all over the world at that time, vets were having these first spectacular results, going through the same experience as myself, some with cows, some with dogs and cats, others with valuable racehorses, sheep, pigs, in all kinds of environments. But for me, it happened in that old, converted railway wagon, among the jumble of rusting junk on Willie Clark's farm. Of course, it didn't last. Not the miraculous part of it, anyway. What I had seen at Willie Clark's was the impact of something new on an entirely unsophisticated bacterial population, but it didn't go on like that. In time, the organisms developed a certain amount of resistance, and new and stronger sulfonamides and antibiotics had to be produced. And so the battle has continued. We have good results now, but no miracles. And I feel I was lucky to be one of the generation which was in at the beginning, when the wonderful things did happen. Those five calves never looked behind them, and the memory of them gives me a warm glow even now. Willie, of course, was overjoyed, and even Jeff Malick gave the occasion his particular accolade. As he drove away, he called back to us.
"Them little blue tablets must have good stuff in them. They're first things I've ever seen could cure stagnation at lungs."